Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY26 earnings conference call of LC Mart Limited, hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant clients will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Anshika Patnaik from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q2 FY26 conference call of LC Mart Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Amit Thapar, Director B2B Metal Trading, Mr. Suraj Kumar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Naman Rastogi, GM Strategy, Mr. Archit Arora, VP Service Center and Distribution Business, Mr. Anubhav Gupta, Group Chief Strategy Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Gupta for the opening remarks, followed by the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gupta.
Thanks, Anshika, and thanks to Systematix Broking for hosting LC Mart and its management for Q2 FY26 earnings call. And I thank all the participants for joining on this call. Q2 was a very difficult quarter in terms of the macro activity, which came to a standstill because of heavy monsoons and global trade uncertainty, which impacted steel prices in terms of heightened volatility during the Q2. So to beat this slowdown at macro front, we worked on all the four verticals to demonstrate better growth on quarter-on-quarter basis. That's why we could achieve 1,700 crore plus revenue, which is almost higher by 50% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Now, breaking this revenue in four verticals, what we have built in the last three, four quarters, number one is B2B metal trading. Of course, we saw a good adequate steel supply in the domestic industry as more and more steel blast furnaces are getting operationalized. So you could see that our revenue from B2B metal trading increased by 50% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And Q1 was very soft. So for the first half of FY26, we are now at flat revenue growth versus last year H1. And this business contributed around 30% to the total revenue of LC Mart in Q2. Service center business, which is really shaping up beautifully. We now have seven fully established operational service centers, out of which five are owned and two are on lease. And this business contributed 50% to LC Mart's Q2 revenue. We expect one service center to start in Q4 in Jaipur. And each year, we want to add four to five or six service centers year-on-year. And the volume per service center, revenue per service center, profitability per service center, everything is on expected targets. And we are excited to build a network of dozens of service centers pan-India in the next three, four years, which will establish LC Mart in the lines of global steel trading companies like Mitsui, Itochu, etc., which we see in Japan, South Korea, and China. The third business which we started was renewable structure. So we kickstarted the business in Q2, which contributed 4% to the total revenue. But the order book from renewable structures stands around 260 crore, which gives complete visibility for the next two, three quarters. In the current quarter of Q3 FY26, the contribution could double from renewable structures, what it was in Q2. The good part is that now that we got into open profiling, open sections, so we have started to add more products in this vertical, like cable trays, residential solar struts, then slotted ankle. There are many 10 to 15 products which we are going to add in the next 12 to 15 months. And all these profiling machines will be set up in our service centers. So there will not be any additional capex to acquire land or to build factories. So this will help us utilize our existing service centers. It will help us sweat our existing assets. And a lot of these products will be sold through our distribution channels. Like renewable structure is mainly OEM business, but the other products what we are adding, these are like pure trade products which will be sold in our distribution channel, which we have built as a group in the last 3-4 years, which deals into downstream steel products trading. And the fourth vertical is the distribution product business. Again, there was a good increase in revenue in quarter two versus quarter one, and it contributed around 16-17% to our total revenue. Here also, a lot of products are being added, and this business is slowly, gradually getting stabilized. Now, on revenue front, we did pretty well, but on margin front, there was a bit disappointment because of three main reasons. Number one is that steel prices declined in quarter two by 3,000 rupees per ton or so, which led to some minor inventory losses. And because the profitability is a bit low, so the hit, even a small hit, appears high optically. Second is that what we have done is that we have decided to book all the branding expenses which were to be amortized over the 24-month period. We have booked all the branding expenses in Q2 and we will book in Q3 also, so that there is no backlog of branding expenses to be booked Q4 onwards. And third reason is that this profiling business in terms of renewable structures and other products we are building, so although there is no much investment in the fixed assets because we are using the same land and building of the service centers, but there is some upfront fixed cost for marketing and manufacturing which we incurred. So that also slightly depressed the overall EBITDA. But we are confident that from quarter four, all this impact will be over with. And we will see the true EBITDA, what all these four businesses could generate for SG Mart. And also to overcome the volatility in steel prices, two businesses are going to help us in a massive way. One is renewable structure and open profile business, because here the spreads are high. It's kind of semi-processing, semi-manufacturing. So the steel price volatility doesn't hit this business a lot. And also the service center business, where we are doing value addition and selling processed metal products, which also gives us better margin. It also insulates SG Mart from steel price volatility on short-term basis. In terms of working capital, balance sheet, if you see, our working capital days stand at 22 days as at 30th September 2025. This is slightly higher versus quarter one, mainly because of the two reasons. Number one is, of course, the profile business, what we are setting up. Initially, there is some high inventory on the books. And plus, international trading business is contributing in good shape. So there also, working capital days are slightly higher compared to what we see in India. So I guess we should be around 15 to 25 days in between as our working capital cycle going forward. That being said, the ROC target of 20-25% remains as it is. It's just that some high margin businesses will take shape and they will require slightly higher working capital. So as a management, we work on the fixed on the expected ROC return of 25%, which remains intact. So that's all from our side. Now we'd like to open floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vivek Patel from Ficon Family Office. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon. I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Firstly, in the previous call, you had mentioned FY26 EBITDA target of 200 crores. So far, up to H1, the EBITDA is 64 crores. Just wanted to understand, firstly, if the EBITDA target of 200 crores is intact. And secondly, how do we expect to achieve the remaining 140 crores of EBITDA in the next half of the year? That will be the first question.
So Vivek, definitely it is now difficult to achieve 200 crore EBITDA for FY26 because Q2 was pretty much below expectation in terms of margin spreads. And like I said, in Q3 also, we would like to complete all the booking of advertisement expenses, right? So Q3 EBITDA should also be kind of not much recovery one could expect. From Q4 onwards, our profiling business in terms of renewable structures and other products plus service center business, there'll be like they'll be contributing more to our earnings. So Q4 should be the exit run rate we should look at, and that's our milestone as management, that that should be the exit run rate which will give the true color of what SG Marken is. So yes, FY26 200 crore EBITDA is difficult to achieve.
Okay.
At the same time, the long term guidance what we have given, right? Because we are confident that once these businesses are fully established, the long term guidance we are able to achieve. It's just that we need a bit more quarter, right, to be able to come and demonstrate the true profitability what we can generate.
Okay, understood. Generally, just wanted to understand a bit about the capital allocation strategy. We currently have about 1,000 crores on the books, and we have planned CapEx of about 200 crores per year. Right? In the previous call, you had mentioned about how higher interest costs will be offset by higher other income. I just wanted to understand a bit about that, because as we continue to do CapEx, other income will decrease while the interest cost will also increase. Just some clarity on that.
So Vivek, if you look at our past commentary, what we say is that whatever profits we generate, the cash profit the company generates every year, that much money we will spend on CapEx. Right? So we were expecting 200 crore EBITDA, right? And that was our CapEx target also. So say this year we do whatever short of 200 crore, and 50 crore we could use our cash on book. But next year EBITDA will jump, right? And that will be linear. So from FY26 to FY28, if we see, EBITDA for the cumulative 3 years will match the CapEx spends for business expansion.
Okay.
And the cash on books, it will be mainly used for working capital.
Okay. Just lastly, some quick numbers if I can. What was the EBITDA per ton for B2B and service center and renewable energy segments? And how did that change versus the last quarter?
So see, I mean, like I said, there was some inventory losses and the branding expenses which we pre-booked, correct? So you can assess in B2B, we do margin of 500 to 1000 rupees per ton. Service center, we do 1500 to 2000 rupees per ton, right? Renewable is around 2 to 3000. And the distribution product is 1000 to 1500. So that's the mix which gives us around 2.5% EBITDA margin. So now we are at 1.6%. You can adjust this number to what I have said.
Just a bit. If you could just simply say this quarter the service center is EBITDA bottom, then that will be helpful.
Like I said, it's 1500 to 1000 rupees, 50 bits, 60 bits, it's lower. So around 600-700 rupees per lower than what it should be.
Okay, understood. Thank you. I'll look back, get back on the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I just want to understand, in the previous call also, I asked about it. Why we are not able to walk the talk in the terms of the guidance? Firstly, we give a thing, and then in the very next quarter, what happens is we comes up with a new thing. Like this quarter, you said we are booking the expenditure for next 24 months in a single quarter only. So last quarter, while giving the guidance, is it likely we did not know this thing?
So Garvit, there are two things, right? So this call on the decision to pre-book branding expenses, yes, this was not planned when we had a call. Second also is the fact that steel prices fluctuation, right, which had dropped by like 3,000 per ton plus, right, that also came from nowhere, okay? So yes, I mean, we have not been able to walk the talk, right? That's why we decided that, how we see the business getting built, right? So there are two big verticals which are now getting shaped. One is the service center business, which is performing on expected lines. And then this open profile structure business, which is getting built. Now these two businesses, are not as volatile as the B2B metal trading businesses or the distribution businesses. And what we believe is that in quarter four, we'll see the true colors that these two businesses can demonstrate. So just to be on the clean slate in Q4, we wanted to kind of get away with all the expenditures which would hurt our earnings going forward. So yes, we apologize for not meeting the investor expectations, but please do trust us that we are working day and night, right, to ensure that whatever we say, right, we don't miss from that in medium to long term. It's just that some short term pain we thought better to take and focus on the businesses which will give us desired profitability and return profile.
Got it. And secondly, sir, you mentioned about this service center business, right? So over the quarters, it is ramping up. And even in this quarter, we have shown some growth, right? So my point is, if the mix is increasing towards that side, so why the, I agree the steel prices were down, but there should be some improvement or some support as well from increasing the business from this service center area, right? Because that is a high margin business, isn't it?
So definitely, if you remove the impact of like steel price volatility and the branding, right, the gross spreads would be much higher than what they were earlier. Plus, there is like almost 45-50% volume increase by 35% on QOQ basis in service center business.
So going ahead, like in this year, means obviously you are saying 200 CR is not possible. So what is the new target do we have in mind?
So like I said, that Q3 could be similar to what Q2 is, right? And then Q4, the exit run rate could be closer to like what the full year guidance we gave.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vaikarya Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you quantify the one-offs in this quarter, the inventory losses, the ad expenses, and the upfront expenses for the new business?
Difficult to quantify, but it is more than 50 bits of total revenue.
Okay. No, so let's say how much would the ad expenses which we have booked in this quarter?
Normally, like, you know, what we were doing in the previous quarters, like, you know, total branding, advertisement, and marketing expenses, mix of everything, right, it was like around 2.5-3 times of what we were doing earlier.
Okay. And second question is, can you tell us the receivables and inventory days for the service sector business and the renewable business?
So if you look at the total debtor days, right, standard 20 for the company, it will be like slightly higher for service center and renewable, right, and lower for distribution and trading business. And in terms of inventory, stands at 27 days. Of course, open section, the renewable structure business is getting built, so we have like slightly higher raw material against the order book what we have, but this has been reduced drastically as we speak today. So service center would be around 20-25 days, and renewable will be like 30-40 days, right? But yes, it will streamline to around 20-25 days overall basis.
Okay. So did we experience the inventory losses in our service center business last year?
Not to the extent what we see in B2B metal trading. Can you repeat that question?
So I was saying, did we experience the inventory losses in our service center business also?
No, so that's where, no, because that's where the stock is, raw material inventory is. Inventory loss is there, it is booked in the service center business. Because in B2B metal trading, there is no inventory on the books as such. And similarly, in the distribution products and the renewable structure is a bit small as of date. So yes, the inventory losses were mainly booked on this underlying inventory of 27 days, which was majorly in the service center.
Okay. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aryaman Agarwal from Money Stories Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. So my question was that if you compare
current quarter with the past two quarters, the B2B segment has come down. Like if you look at the Q4 of FY25, so is there a specific reason for that?
You're asking about B2B metal trading business, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so what is happening is that the service center business is taking over sales from B2B metal trading. That is number one, right? Because whatever steel we get, we want to process it and sell it with better margin, with better return profile. So as our service center business is scaling up, we don't want to just do B2B metal trading for mere 500 rupees per ton kind of margin. Right. And second, obviously, like Q4 and Q1, the steel supply was also challenging in the country. Right. Now we are seeing adequate steel supply. And now we are able to source steel and again ramp up the B2B metal business like we did in quarter two. The revenue increased by almost 50% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Going forward, we do expect that steel supply in India will keep on increasing and B2B metal business, although with lower margin, but superior ROC, will slowly gradually getting built up.
Okay. My second question was about your distribution segment, which has been ramping up lately. So wanted to know if you are adding any new products and what is the current section.
Which we are. Which we are. So TNT sales are slowly improving, right? Because now we are opening, we are adding more and more distributors who are selling TNT, who are selling meshnet wire, who are selling light structures. So it's more of like product addition and also the distribution expansion or the revenue per distributor is also going up.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akhilesh Kumar from Astro Technology. Please go ahead.
Hi, I would like to know about our previous quarters. We have been always emphasizing on the steel supply, and this quarter was supply was good. How does it matter to us? Instead of supply, the demand is the problem. Because if last quarter also supply was less, but the steel was available all the way, and the prices were not rising, still we did not like say perform, and we were hoping for better supply to do better here. But in this quarter also, we have plenty of supply, but still we are not keeping up the pace. What might be the reason?
No, actually, if you see that in terms of volume, right, put together in B2B metal trading and service centers, it will be like highest ever quarterly volume put together. So this is a function of steel being available, right? And why it matters to us is that, see, look at the CCO of SG Mart. We want to become India's largest trader and user of steel, right? And given our balance sheet strength, given our network of service centers, all we need is raw material, which is steel, right? Either we trade it as it is in a B2B segment, or we process it and sell it through our service centers with mild processing. So availability of steel is very critical, right? And as the steel supply keeps on increasing, this is that only we are bullish on our service center business, where we want to keep on adding 4 to 6, 7 service centers year on year, and to have like dozens of service centers pan India.
My doubt is like the supply is the driving force for us or the demand. If the supply is the next half also, you are saying that supply of the steel will be increasing by 10% or something. just having supply doesn't mean that demand will come automatically, right?
So demand here is that, I mean, see, there's a lot of shift happening from unorganized to organized, right? Right now, there are small traders, unorganized traders, which are in the market. So FG Mart will go and take market share from there, right? If I have steel in my hand, then I can go and take market share. But if I don't have the steel in my hand, then I don't have enough arsenal, right, to go and take market share. So demand obviously plays an important role. But here, as a trader, because steel, blast furnace steel is like a river flowing in the water, water flowing in the river, okay? Whatever steel gets produced, it doesn't get dumped. It has to go as end use somewhere. So we just want to become the intermediary of that, whether it's a raw steel trading or it is like some processed steel trading.
Okay, I got it. My idea was that, like, say, if the production is increased by steel companies, they might be looking for exports or anything else, but certainly demand is not going to jump without any reason, right? They might be exporting oil.
Export, India has put tariffs on import, right? So it's difficult to say that, like, you know, it'll be easier for companies to export steel, right? I mean, global trade uncertainty is everywhere, right? So whatever steel is getting produced, it has to be used in-house.
Yeah, and one clarification, like, out of the four business lines what we have, with increased volume also this quarter, which verticals are we still having achieved the break-even level?
Every business is profitable.
So, and in solar, you said that you will be getting a few more orders within a month last con call, but I have not seen any order announcement as of now. We are doing good there.
So the current order book is 260 crore rupees in hand. This covers us for next 3-4 months easily, and then we are in discussions with a lot of larger IPPs for more order book.
Okay, and TMT, you said that we are breaking even, right?
So TMT, we have changed the model. We are only telling the franchisee partners to produce and sell TMT on their own, right? We just need a royalty for SG brand. So if you look at the line item in our revenue vertical, in our revenue table, it shows like 15 million rupees of royalty. So now there is no expense, no capital employment, nothing. It's the pure royalty income what we are getting.
Okay. That's it from my end. Thanks for clarifying.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of S. Chatterjee from Asteri Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for your QOQ volume recovery. I have just two questions. First is, we gave 100% growth for EBITDA guidance for financial year 26. Now it looks like we won't even reach 50%. Now considering we are into steel business where there is price volatility and we are also not a mature business, is it necessary to give such an aggressive guidance?
So, Mr. Chatterjee, that's what we are saying. So, one is that, this year should be better than 50% of the guidance what we said. And secondly, yes, that's what I'm saying, that, we are not giving any particular number, right, as guidance. But our long-term commitment for whatever promise we made to our investors, right, and the way the business is shaping up, we are just trying to say that long-term guidance, we will definitely meet up.
I have just one more question. Could you please provide the absolute amount of EBITDA impact due to converting the amortization expense of brand building into going through P&L for just one time?
We can take this offline, please. You can reach out to our investor relations team. The contact details are in the presentation.
Thank you so much. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hitendra Pradhan from Maximum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I hope I'm audible. So my question is related to the servicing EBITDA realization that we had this quarter. So can you just bifurcate, like you told, if I got that correctly, you know, we did like 1,000 to 1,500 per ton this quarter. So, you know, but the base was probably, you know, higher, like in 2,000, around 2,000 rupees. So what part was, due to the inventory and what part was due to the, you know, micro market sectors, like, you know, the pricing or, you know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Pradhan, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is not clear. You have to be more clear and repeat the question, please.
Yeah, sorry. Is it better now?
Much better now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is regarding the servicing business realization that we had this quarter. So you mentioned that, you know, there was somewhere like, you know, 500 rupees drop from the trend. We did somewhere around 1,000 to 1,500 rupees per ton EBITDA realization this quarter in our servicing business. So my question is, what part, explains that with respect to like inventory losses versus, you know, the micro market or pricing, related, stuff.
Only inventory loss, Mr. Pradhan.
So, but our inventory days are like, somewhat, you know, low, right? Like, you know, it's around 25 days or 30 days, as you mentioned. So all of that is due to the inventory loss, really?
Yeah, 500 rupees per ton reduction, yes.
Okay, then. Okay. Then, again, you know, on a medium to long-term scenario, as you said, like, you know, our business proposition is that we want to bring this servicing business, expand and scale up the servicing business. And it was given to our understanding that, you know, you could generate more margins, somewhere around 4 to 5% versus say 1 and 2% in your normal trading. So this margin relation potential that you see in the servicing business, is it still intact, or, you know, what are the economics or the, you know, factors that can, you know, change this? Because there is a steel sourcing issue, and there is an, you know, inflationary and deflationary issue if the steel price goes up or down. So in which condition or which kind of, you know, macro factors or macro environment would actually be conducive for our servicing business? If the steel price goes down, can we expect that, you know, the margin realization for our servicing business will be lower and vice versa?
So, Mr. Pradhan, the key factor here is that how much the volatility in the steel price was faced in any particular quarter, right? So, in quarter two, steel prices came down by like 3,000 to 3,500 rupees a ton, which is almost like 5 to 6% decline, right? And this is not a small decline. Normally, like what happens is like 1,000 to 2,000 rupees per ton fluctuation takes place quarter on quarter. And now steel prices with such a sharp drop in quarter two, they are nearing bottom, right? And obviously, prices fell because of low demand from construction sector, which is one of the major drivers of steel demand in the country, followed by autos, by goods. So you would know that all these three sectors suffered badly in the first half because of extended monsoon, low consumer demand for autos and white goods. Now things are going to get better in terms of macro demand. So steel prices, drop we saw, we're not predicting any sharp hike, right? But what we certainly know is that prices are going to be plateaued now, right? And there is a good clean slate for demand to recover with the stability in prices, which will give some confidence in the market for restocking of steel as well. Every channel partner in the steel value chain is sitting on lower stock inventory because of like consistent decline in steel prices started from April 2025. So for 6 months, we believe environment is good enough for us to bounce back in terms of revenue expansion and with better spreads. So that's why we are confident that Q4 would be pretty solid versus like, you know, what you saw our performance in the first 9 months.
This is with a stable kind of an environment of steel prices, the 4-5% that you have been guiding, that is achievable, or should you lower down that as well, like say to, you know, 3-3.5% in some of the range?
So let's not play on the margin, let's play on the EBITDA per ton. For metal trading, 500 to 1000 rupees per ton. For service center business, 1500 to 2000 rupees per ton. For renewable structures, 2000 to 3000 rupees per ton. And for distribution products, 1000 to 1500 rupees per ton. This is what we are not sticking to.
Got it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yash from Pentree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Based on the past commentary, we can see contradiction in the performance of SG-Mart, right? As mentioned earlier, there was less availability of the steel, which affected overall volume. But now, if I can see steel capacity and the production has increased significantly, right? So, is there any fundamental problem with our business model that why haven't we seen any significant volume growth in our business? Or are we affected by the organized player who are catering to the other businesses, right? Why aren't we able to capture significant market share from the organized player? And if I can see this quarter, customer acquisition is also stagnant, right? In this case, economy like India, is there is any need of SG-Mart or any big B2B trader to serve the steel sector as a B2B market trader? Also, how are we planning to cater all this segment as a scalability point of view?
So, Mr. Yash, see, I mean, there is no doubt on the business model of SG-Mart. Right. Obviously, we have performed below expectations against what we guided to our investors. But if you look at first half performance of SG-Mart, the EBITDA increased by 61% on YOY basis. The net profit increased by 38% on YOY basis. The cash profit increased by 47% on YOY basis. Right. If that were the case, I mean, there was no reason that why profitability for the first half would be better than last year, right? It is question of like we expecting certain things, right, which did not fall to our favor, and that's why we slipped on our guidance. But the company, the business model which is being created, right, the performance in first half, like relative performance, right, it demonstrates what we have built, okay. And what is being built, what I can tell you is that like give us just a third quarter, right? And from Q4 onwards, you will see the real performance, the real strength of our business model and the consistency of these profits, right, quarter on quarter. Because the businesses which are being built, like service center and open profile renewable structure, these are very stable business with less volatility, right? And irrespective of like short-term steel supply availability in the country. So yes, I mean, we have underperformed against our own expectations, but as a business, I mean, when we started,
okay. So there is one doubt regarding the.
Just to complete, when we started SG-Mart in FY23, the profit I mean, business EBITDA was FY24, the business EBITDA was 62 crores, right? And in FY25, the business EBITDA was 103 crores. And this year, you will see very good growth, right? Obviously not 200 crores, what we expected, but very good growth over 103 crores, what we did last year.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rishi Kumar from Rishi Investing Services. Please go ahead. Mr. Rishi, you may proceed ahead with your question. Sir, you may proceed ahead with your question. With no response, we will go ahead with the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You know, just had a few questions. The first one was that, you know, you had indicated to us earlier that, you know, that we were not particularly exposed to price movements in steel because our inventory, you know, days were extremely low. So just wanted to know what is the reason why we had to take this hit. Is it just because it was a little bit extreme this time around? If you could just highlight on that.
So, Rishi, if you see, Ritesh, if you see that, I mean, the inventory loss, what we had in quarter two, right? When we will look this number on full year basis, this number will appear very less, right? Which could have hurt our full year profitability. So we always, when we used to say that steel price volatility won't impact our profits much, I was right? Because you need to look it on like full year basis, not on like just one quarter basis.
Okay. Like in, could you see the quantify the amount, because that would be easily available, right? Like what is the inventory hit which we've taken and what is the hit we've taken?
Like I said, no, like 50-60 bits of revenue.
Is the inventory hit, and then there were a few other losses also which you were indicating were from some of the investments you were making, etc. So, you know, if you could just give us a clear cut with the breakup so we get a sense on what the adjusted EBITDA we should be looking at it is.
Yeah, so more than 2%.
More than 2% of revenues overall.
That's right. No, I mean, what I'm saying is that the EBITDA should have been more than 2% if you remove the inventory write-downs
if you could just give us a quantified amount that this is the amount of steel inventory hit that we have taken, this is the amount of like losses.
So my EBITDA margin is 1.5% reported.
Yeah.
Right? I'm saying 50-60 bits is inventory hit. So very okay. Easy to calculate, right?
Okay.
Then another 50 bits for other expenses. That's why I'm saying, no, that EBITDA would have been above 2%.
Understood. Sir, and the other question I had for you was that, you know, you are indicating that from Q4 things will normalize. I think on some of the earliest con calls, you'd indicated that from Q3 things were going to normalize. Just wanted to know in terms of, you know, actually what has led to this movement from Q3 things normalizing to maybe from 2 to Q4 and normalizing, and what is the level of confidence we have that this normalization will happen as opposed to again slipping by another quarter or two?
Fair enough, right? So again, like in month of October also, there is a decline in steel prices, right? November, December, we are assuming stabilized steel pricing, right? So whatever hit we'll take for month of October. Second, like some further marketing, branding, advertisement expenses were being amortized. So we want to clear that. And third, the OPEX for open structure, right, that will also get we will be done with, because the business will start showing in real 2,000-4,000 rupees per ton of EBITDA, right, which you will see in quarter four from January onwards.
Okay, but just to understand, if EBITDA per this ton we are maintaining, you know, I think in one of the earlier calls also you're highlighting that, you know, obviously the revenues will be lower if steel prices go down. But the margins will be higher because we are maintaining EBITDA per ton. Given October steel prices are going down, is that again, it's going to be an inventory hit which we're taking again, or effectively it's potentially a hit in...
Q3 performance should be near about Q2 performance, which I said very clearly earlier.
So in a declining steel price environment, it's not that the profitability will remain the same. We will see a hit in profitability because there will be some hits we end up having to take. Is that an accurate sort of assumption we're making here?
No, so see, I mean, you need to see in how quickly steel prices come down, right? So now if there is a 2,000 rupees drop in steel prices in 12 months, right, it doesn't hit us even a pinch, right? But if 2,000 rupees per ton correction comes in 30 days, so obviously it will fit us, right? But then you need to see that it's only a quarterly phenomena, right? Last year in quarter two there was like 15-20 crore of inventory loss we took, right? On a quarterly profit it appeared like 40-50% was eroded, right? But on full year basis it was like 15% which was high. But now that the absolute EBITDA of the company will keep on growing, right, which it is, right, first half also we are at 50%, so the percentage of hit will keep on going down,
but the amount of inventory we hold will also increase, right, given our revenue is higher, so then
not in the same proportion, because our throughput will improve, right? If you analyze APL Apollo Steel Tubes, our another group company, right, when we were doing EBITDA of 400 crore rupees on annualized basis, right, our inventory and the volume was like 100,000 ton per month, right? Now we are doing 300,000 ton per month volume and EBITDA of 1,600-1,700 crores on annualized basis, right? But the inventory, absolute inventory doesn't expand in the same proportion, because once we have put up a service center, right, we have put up a 5,000 ton of stock there, right? So then from there we can do 6,000, 8,000, 10,000, 12,000 ton of throughput on monthly basis without increasing my raw material inventory.
Got it. And so just so one,
just,
one.
We are just, just last, we are just in that phase, right, where like we ourselves got a bit like an excited and gave those guidance, because we were not expecting that steel prices would fall so sharply from April 25 till October 25, given that the Indian government had imposed import tariffs, right, and there was stability in global steel prices also. So this is again first time in our lifetime we are seeing that global steel prices are stable, but domestic steel prices have a kind of crash, and when there are zero imports, right? So it's a very unique situation where we are operating. But the good part is that with steel prices going to get plateaued within November month, then there shouldn't be further write downs.
Got it. Sir, and one last question was, so then if we are looking at, let's say, like Q4 now, right? If we are looking at Q4, assuming in Q4 there is no large volatility in terms of steel prices, would we be at the run rate which we had initially guided towards, which is potentially 60-65 crores of EBITDA?
We should be.
Got it. So effectively it is only a two-quarter blip in terms of inventory that we're taking now, and then extra expenses. Like, I understand that we weren't able to predict the steel pantry prices are reducing and the business pantry hits me at the same. But what about this other amortization of advertising expenses and these other exceptional expenses? How come those weren't able to be predicted?
No, they were predicted, but it's just that like we knew that Q2, Q3 would suffer because of softer steel prices. So we said, let's also complete the accounting for other expenses, right? So that Q4 would be on clean slate.
Okay, and a Q4, and even beyond that, everything will be on a clean slate.
Yeah,
In
December balance sheet, we will sign off, right? That would be with steel prices at their minimum low level.
Okay, got it. All right, sir. Thank you. That's all from me. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Krunal Shah from Enam Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Anubhav. So if you could provide a volume outlook for FY26, and even a revenue outlook, send me your volume outlook.
I'm so sorry to interrupt in between, sir. Your voice is not audible.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, Anubhav. So just wanted to check, if you could provide a volume outlook for FY26 and FY27. And my second question is on service center business. So I think we are adding 3 service centers this year, but our initial plan was to add 5. So when would the remaining 2 be coming up?
So we have 7 operational, right? 5 are owned and 2 are leased, and 1 will one should start by quarter 4. So we said that FY26 we will have throughout FY26 we will have 6 of our owned service centers which will be operational. 5 have been operational since January/February of 2025. And Jaipur one, the 6th one will start in Q4 of FY26. And 2, which we wanted to own, right? But land acquisition was taking time, so we found 2 good assets which we took on lease. Let's not go by the number of service centers. Again, I had explained this earlier that. The throughput per service center is much higher than what we were expecting earlier. When we said that we want to have more than 50 service centers, right? Our expectation was that we will do 5,000 ton per month per service center, right? Volume. But in some of the service centers, we are going beyond 12,000 ton also, correct? So when I'm getting that kind of throughput, right? Why would I put up extra service centers, right? So there is no change in any guidance in service center business. It is just that some number could be here and there, but it's only because the throughput from the existing centers is higher than what we had expected.
Right. But given that if you have say 10 service centers, then would you not have more better geographical presence and thereby even higher volumes?
So definitely, right? So all the new service centers which are going to come, right? They are in the areas where we are not present currently.
Right.
Right. So Jaipur would cater to Rajasthan, right? Right now we were feeding it from NCR region, but then we will save on freight, right? East India is next target. South India is next target.
Okay. And the first question on volume outlook for FY26 and FY27 as well.
Right, so volume, service centers, one can assume 10,000 ton per service center on monthly basis. Right. So far, in Pasta, we have done 500,000in B2B measure trading and service centers, right? So it should be much higher than what we did in Pasta. Right, the open structure solar business is ramping up. Right, in first half we did around 8,200 tons. Right, but we have order book of more than 30,000 tons. So hopefully we will execute that and volume ramp up will be there. And FY27, more service centers are added, more volume will come from there. D2B, again, I don't want to put any false hopes, but it can be infinite trading volume, assuming that steel supply is there in the country, right? We have all the ingredients which are required to take this business to whatever level, but yes, steel has to be available, right? So there is no point giving guidance on B2B metal trading. But whatever volumes we are doing currently, we should maintain, we should be able to maintain those with 15-20% of volume growth. And distribution business, there's a good jump in Q2 versus Q1. So idea is to stabilize this somewhat and then take it forward in FY27.
Okay. And the TMT volume which you would share for the quarter, the royalty one, where you had royalty?
So TMT volumes, I mean, it has no relevance, it's easy to calculate given that you know the royalty revenue, what
right.
is given.
Right.
And around 500 to 600 rupees per ton per franchise.
Got it. Perfect. Perfect. Got it. Okay. Done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anubhav Gupta for closing comments.
Thanks everyone for joining us for our earnings call. We do understand that we have not lived up to the expectations what we set for SG Mart so far, but please have faith on us and trust on us. The business models what are being created, they're going to throw all the numbers what we expected and guided for. Look forward to see you again during our quarter 3 earnings call. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.